In 1834, seven Catholic churches were served in the expansive diocese of Vincennes by Bishop Simon Brute and three other priests. Mass in several other venues was occasional. By the time the bishop died in June of 1839, only 5 years later, the sacraments were being celebrated in 27 parish churches, and four more were being built. Masses were also celebrated in 30 other stations. There were 25 priests and 20 seminarians. Two religious communities had been founded. There was a college for young men and an academy for young women. Elementary schools enrolled 130 students. The phenomenal development under the leadership of our founding bishop testifies to the power of God's grace working through a holy missionary. Simon had written to his brother Augustine, "My health is failing fast, my days are vanishing, but every day my heart experiences great joy at the unremitting progress of the church. Although I should like to remain a little longer, I am resigned to the Master's will." Father John McCaffrey, president of Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, a good friend of Bishop Brute, left a splendid testimony about the nobility of the bishop's last days. He wrote, "Difficulties that would have disheartened almost anyone else only served to increase his zeal and charity. Having commenced a journey of 400 miles in such a state of bodily suffering that he could not sit upright on his horse, he nevertheless completed it without the intermission of a single day. Shortly before his death, he left Vincennes to visit a distant mission, and though so weak and extenuated that he could scarcely support his tottering frame, in the absence of the pastor, he attended to three distant sick calls on the same day, and almost dying, administered the consolations of religion to those who appeared no nearer mortal disillusion than himself. Death, which could be no unwelcome visitor to one whose thoughts, hopes, and affections all centered in a better world, found him full-handed of good works, and longing only to be dissolved and to be with Christ. Invincibly patient and brightly and resigned under the severest suffering, full of tender piety, calm, collected, and exhibiting his characteristic virtues to the last, he set a beautiful example of the manner in which a Christian should prepare himself to run his final race and to win the glorious immortality. As his strength diminished, his devotion increased. He sought no alleviation for his sufferings. On the contrary, he was eager still to labor and endure in the twofold view of doing good to others and resembling more his crucified Savior. When unable to walk or stand, he would at least sit up and write to any whom he could hope to benefit by his correspondence. And to those around him, he would speak on pious subjects, such as the love of God, conformity to his holy will, or devotion to the Blessed Virgin with the unction of a saint and the ardor of a seraph. These last precious days of his life were thus entirely taken up in the works of charity, in instructing, edifying, and consoling those who were with him, and in intimate and affectionate communion with his God, whom he hoped soon to see face to face and love and enjoy forever. He preferred often to be left alone, that he might the more freely indulge his pious feelings, and for this end he would allow no one to watch by him by night until his mortal agony had begun. "The will of God be done" was the constant language of his lips, as it was the abiding sentiment of his heart. After having received the last sacrament, he directed the departing prayers to be recited, which he answered devoutly and fervently until the last. And then on the morning of the 26th of June at 1:30, he calmly and sweetly surrendered his soul into the hands of his Creator. Bishop Brute's last words were those of Christ, "Sitio, I thirst." As we reflect on the last days of our founding bishop in this year 2005, we cannot help but think of the last days of our recently deceased Pope John Paul II. The similarities are striking. Their witness of charity and humility as infirm pastors dedicated to their people to the very end is touching. As for the late Holy Father, so for our first bishop, all with one accord mourned for the scholar, the philanthropist, and the saint. Crowds of persons of every rank and of all denominations visited his corpse and assisted at the ceremonies of his burial. It is said that the whole population poured forth to accompany, in solemn silence, the honored remains of the holy and unlikely bishop, the first bishop of Vincennes, to their lasting resting place.